Welcome, everybody. Yeah, we're going to do an intro. I got a real intro.
Okay, good.
Here we go. Welcome, friends and enemies, to Podcasts Will Never Help You or Pony, not associated with the Genuine Estate, the first ever podcast in recorded history. I am your intrepid host, Juan, as in the moon, and with me, as always, as my associate, what's your name again?
Scabby.
Okay. In the future, I want you to come up with, like, a fun nickname.
A fun nickname?
Well, I mean, Scabby's already a fun nickname, but, like, even funner than that. Like, I was about to call you Mug Boy.
Mug Boy.
Because your Discord icon is Muganon? Or Mugman?
It's Mugman, but since I'm non-binary, it's Muganon, because I'm clever. There you go.
Fuck, I just got that.
Oh, there you go. It's Mugman.
Wow. Jesus. Okay, that's good. Yeah, credit where credit's due. That's really good.
Boom. Well, here I am. I'm Mugnon.
Yeah.
I guess you're Cuphead.
We're going to change... No, I don't want to be Cuphead.
Why?
But we're gonna change it every time is the point. It's a way to sharpening our improv skills.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So let's start the show.
Sweet.
This is our ridiculously broad pop culture show where we discuss things that we're into that are not at all reflective of the zeitgeist, and that's how we distance ourselves from the billions of other pop culture shows that are already on iTunes.
Yeah, we talk about things nobody cares about.
Exactly. That is mwah, perfection. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. The niche corner.
Yeah. So what do you want to start off with today?
We'll do video games, right?
Yeah, let's talk about video games.
All right, so I'm gonna talk about Bayonetta a lot, but I see that you've put Sly Cooper on the on these show notes, and I cannot resist.
What's up?
I cannot resist the siren's call of. Of Sly Cooper. So what do you have to say about Sly Cooper? What in 2018? What is it that made you want to talk about Sly Cooper on a podcast?
I just really like Sly Cooper, and it makes me emotional to talk about because it was like my favorite platformer of all time, and everything about it was so good and so fun, and it was really the fondest memories I have of the PlayStation 2 ever.
Granted,
I didn't play a lot of stuff on it. Like,
I mean, there's nothing to play on it.
Yeah.
Widely regarded as a failure, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So, like, what? Like,
it had like, what, 10 30 units? Games?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. 30. PS2 had no games.
The only launch titles were fucking Gran Turismo and, like, Rainbow Six. That was it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
This was going to be my segue into film, because the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I saw, for what has to have been, like, in my lifetime, the 50th or so time, I was watching that sort of test footage for the Sly Cooper movie that is no longer happening.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Fuck, it's so good.
I had no idea that was even happening. I had no idea that was like a twinkle in anybody's eye.
Look, it was more than a twinkle. They got out. It's basically a trailer. It's like it's almost 2 minutes, if not more. And it's just that, like, they got all the original voice cast back, or at least like really, really reasonable facts. And the guy who does Bentley is the same guy, because that voice is like
irreplaceable.
It's not replicable in it. Like, it's like Donald Duck,
like,
you know,
like Christopher Lloyd. Back to the Future.
You can't, yeah, that's, it's, lightning doesn't strike twice. But it's, like, them, like, stealing donuts from, like, a police station, which, like, good at Praxis, first of all.
Good, oh my god, Comrade Cooper.
I know.
Oh my god, you know, that would have been, you know, there was that game that was, like, time traveling and shit?
Which
so
one?
So, the last one they did was, the one on PS4.
Oh, Thieves in Time, Thieves in Time, yeah.
There should have been a Soviet Cooper.
I know, right? God. Vladimir Cooper.
Revolver Cooper.
Revolver Cooper.
Shalashaska. Just twirling his fucking baton around.
His cane is just like a sickle.
Oh, the cane. It's a cane, not a baton. You're right.
And you can't tell because the cane is already shaped like a sickle in its natural state.
It's perfect.
Oh, man. That's really... It's fucking criminal. I know it doesn't really matter in, like, they brought, like, how many games can we count that, like, deserved better than they got? And it's not really worth talking about. It just made me really sad because that movie was going to come out and it was going to be, like, it was going to introduce a whole new generation to this intrepid raccoon with good ass practice.
It was going to be the new Minecraft.
Yeah, it was.
Kids,
there's going to be strategy guides littering the Barnes & Noble bargain section.
A brand new generation's gateway drug into furries.
Yep. Man, that game was sexy, too.
How much Murray stuff do you think I could find if I were looking for some, like,
wanking? I'll do you one better. I'm going to rank the main cast in order of how much stuff I think you could find on
them. Okay, go ahead.
Top, obviously, Carmelita Fox, just because that's the world we live in. And she had her midriff was always out. Like, and, like, always. it was conspicuous.
Conspicuous midriff.
Yeah. Because it's like she's a fox, and foxes don't have belly buttons. Except. Okay, so she's first, just obviously. Second, I think it's definitely Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Just get that real good bar of content.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think third is not actually Sly. I think Sly's too... You sort of want to get a little more creative, so then you go into the villains. I think the number one villain is the first... boss from the first game, Sir Raleigh the Frog. Because
he's French.
No, he's not French, actually. He's like,
wait,
I think...
What?
Oh, wait, is he French? Shit.
I'm pretty sure he's French. I have vague memories of French villains.
Okay, well then, first of all, geek check. And second of all, that may be right. So, okay. But he's not because he's French. But because, if you recall...
Unbearably erotic. Yeah, I recall.
No, okay, yes. Man, you really... Okay, it's not even fun to geek check you because you really are deep into these games even more so than I am, and you're making me look like a fucking fool. But if you recall that first boss fight, his whole thing was that he would start out small because he was like...
Oh, and then he got
actual
big.
Size, and he swole himself up, and you've got, like, that's...
It's, so you got, I mean, you got furry and TF.
Yeah. It's just the nest. Like, you could do four, you could do pregnancy, you could do expansion. Like,
stick
there's a, no limit.
Stick a fork in me. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so,
then...
After that?
After that, I think it's a tie between the main villain from the first game, Clockwork... the robot owl, just because I think you could get a bunch of dildos coming out of him and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, and other, like, paraphernalia sex toys.
Okay.
And then Mugshot, who was the second villain, he was a dog. Remember. His upper body
With the guns. Yeah.
With the guns, yes, but also his upper body was such that it was more practical for him to ambulate on his fists than on his legs.
Yeah, he can be more. He can do more than that. This is a great intro. What a way to celebrate the storied legacy of Sly Cooper.
You're right. We're not doing it justice.
Well, we are. I think we are.
We're doing justice to... This is for the fans.
This is exactly... It's for the fans.
It's not for the suits. Yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay, fine. That's all right.
Let's talk about Bayonetta.
All right.
Because it's something else we promised the fans.
Okay, here you go, fans. I've been playing a lot of Bayonetta because
good.
That came out on the Switch, Bayonetta 2 and Bayonetta 1. It was weird.
Nice.
I feel like there's gonna be this thing where like a lot of people play the first game, and like that game came out in like 2009, I think. Yeah. It's a fantastic game, and I am going to speak about both at length, I think. But there are certain considerations that, like, one has to take into account when, like, purchasing that. Like, they're putting both of them out at the same time. They're not bundling them. Like, you can buy one and the other one gets discounted. Either way, you're spending, like, $60 for the two of them, which is, I feel like, fine, considering
that... Yeah, it's a deal.
Mm-hmm. Considering that, like, no one played Bayonetta 2 because it was on the Wii U. Ouch. And, like, finally these games are portable, which is, like, what? honestly, this has been much more of a showcase than, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, or, like, even Mario Odyssey. Like, playing these games, like, on the go, like, just lying down on the bed and playing Bayonetta, like, just whenever is, like, wild to me, but...
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway,
I'm very happy for you.
I am extremely happy. What worries me is that, like, people would go into this 2009 game, which is, like, kind of unforgiving. Like, that's the one that was directed by Hideki Kamiya. Like,
yeah.
That's the one he actually directed. And, like, he supervised the second game, but he directed the first one. And it has a lot of his trademark stuff where, like, the first run-through is going to be very unforgiving. And, like, it's usually more of, like, you're stumbling your way through it. You're getting, like, the game ranks you. And, like, no one likes getting, like, graded on their performance.
I love getting graded.
Really?
Are you kidding me? That's the best. That was like, what's that? We talked about it. I don't know what episode it was, but we talked about Beautiful Joe, which was also him. I think it was Clover.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I would get ratings like every like 2 minutes. Like the checkpoints were super short.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Gratifying to see, like, because it wasn't just, like, the grades. It, like, they broke it down versus, like, oh, this is how good you were at comboing. This is how good you were at not taking damage. And, like, that's kind of, like, cool that the knowledge that, you know, there are concrete things that you can do that the game is telling you to do to be better at the game. And especially, I guess that's specific to, like, Beautiful Joe, because part of that game is to just, not just, like, to do what you have to do, but to do it in a way that looks fucking effortless and cool and badass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I come to think of it now, I think that might be Clover's MO, actually, because Bayonetta is sort of, like, the same thing.
Yeah, right? Clover slash Peace Platinum Games Studio, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do. Now, the thing is that with Beautiful Joe, though, like, that game is a little easier to grasp on first viewing, like, it's not as...
Oh, that's... Yeah. I mean, it only has two dimensions.
Yep. And this game has, like, a bunch... The first game has a bunch of, like, cute quick time events that you can fail and then just die. Yeah. And the thing is that, like, if you get more than two deaths in on, like, a given stage, you're probably gonna get, like, a stone award. Like, it has, like... It's, like, stone, bronze, silver, and then gold. And, like, on your first go-through, you're not gonna get that feeling of gratification, probably. You're gonna be, like... Well, I got another stone award. This game is telling me to go fuck myself, I guess. And like, it's a bit, it's not super accessible on your first go. And I'm worried that like a bunch of people will like play through it and be like, man, that kind of showed its age a little. Even though, in my opinion, it doesn't. But like, some people might walk away from it going like, I don't know if I want to go to the second one, which is a shame because the second one I feel like is a good way to like dip your toe in the Bayonetta series since it's like so much more accessible, so much easier, and it doesn't have any of those cheap quick time events.
Yeah.
Now, I was curious and I just wanted to see how people were like reacting to the Switch ports, so I went on some forums and stuff, and people were talking about the video games.
Oh, fuck yeah. We're doing investigative journalism on this podcast.
Finally. Me and the front lines of the video game wars.
Yes.
I... Trolling
video gaff.
No, God no. Never again. I noticed a bunch of people were like, and I guess I had kind of noticed this the last time around, but more so now, I noticed a lot of people were like, oh, the second game is for people who like to look at, like, all the pretty colors and, like, all the cinematics and don't actually, like, want to engage with the mechanics. I'm like, whoa, hey, whoa, what, wait, what's this Bayonetta 2 backlash? I didn't know it was this fierce. I saw a couple of posts like that, and I just posted, like, hey, could someone, without being a condescending shitheel who wants to turn people off the entire series, like, literally everything they were saying was retroactively, like, souring me on the first game because everyone was being such...
That's a big fucking ask.
Can I just say? I was like, hey, why is, like, what's the backlash about? Like, what exactly, what does Bayonetta 2 do mechanically, like, different?
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was kind enough to, like, explain, like, so, and there's, like, a list of things. The biggest two that I saw were that, like, enemies don't stagger as much with your, because you can extend your combos by, like, just holding down the punch or kick button, and, like, Bayonetta will, like, keep shooting her guns that are attached to her arms and legs. Nice. Great. It's very effective. I mean, hey, you think, hey, I can put guns on my two hands, but what if I had some on my feet? It's twice the firepower, and those limbs are doing nothing down there. So yeah, I might as well hang in there. Yeah, might as well just take advantage of that. They're right there. So yeah, you can do that, and when you do that, the enemy will usually, like, they'll stagger and, like, you'll interrupt their attacks and stuff. Yeah. And you can, and they're easier to juggle as a result of that, because, like, well, you know, they're staggered and shit. Now in the second game, that's not much of a thing. And the Wicked Weaves, that's what they're called. They're called Wicked Weaves because, like, Bayonetta, her outfit is made of hair.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is some sort of fetish, but yes, like, her entire outfit is made of hair. And, like, if you do a powerful combo, like, you'll, like, summon a hair fist or a hair, like, leg, demon leg arm. Or whatever, and that finishes out your combo, and that and the first game that was your, like, main way of, like, doing damage. Now in the second game, that kind of stuff is, like, deprioritized because they introduced this mechanic. It's called Umbran Climax. There are a lot of innuendos and sex things in Bayonetta. So try to keep up. And, like, that kind of that portion of the combat, the Wicked Weaves, were, like, deprioritized in favor of, like, building up your Umbran Climax, and then just basically just, like, your typical, like, demon mode or whatever in character action game.
Yeah.
And people are like, meh, I don't like that. But it was very illuminating because, like, usually those aren't considerations that you usually, like, these are, like, very specific character action, like, quibbles, like, people who own, like, as someone who's played through both games, I had noticed of the staggering thing, and honestly, even, like, Bayonetta has this mechanic where, like, you can, the main thing that you can do to extend your combos is when you're doing that thing where you're holding down the punch or kick button to extend your combo, you can dodge during that, and that won't break your combo, and that's how you keep your combo going. And then only now am I interacting with that system, so to be fair, I am a baby. But it was illuminating for one thing, and it made me also, like, just appreciate the first one mechanically a little bit more. I started playing that one as well, and yeah, it still feels great. And yeah, there's a little bit more to the combat, I feel like. Those games are real good. I really recommend them. I don't know why you haven't played them as someone who's, like, a huge Devil May Cry fan. Yeah, I know I haven't played the second one, but the first one's on Steam. So, and you liked Vanquish.
I loved Vanquish. Vanquish is so fucking good. Vanquish was that I think the reason I liked Vanquish so much is because, like, I like character action games from a distance. Like, I like the idea of them, and it doesn't take much to, like, impress me in that sort of vein. Like, I liked the rebooted Devil May Cry, where he has brown hair.
The bad one.
Yeah, the bad one. The universally panned one. I thought it was pretty cool. I really liked
Hey, hold on. What? Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Because
when we start a YouTube channel out of this podcast and we start doing Let's Plays, that's going to be the first one. I'm sorry, but I'm putting that down now, and now it's on paper, and it's out in the universe, because the cutscenes in that game are fantastic.
Aside from pizza bread, dick, Dante, I don't care about any of those cutscenes.
Pizza bread, dick?
It wasn't pizza bread. What are you talking about? The intro cutscene where he's naked.
Oh, okay,
He's naked, and they can't show his ding-dong, so, like, he flies through the air, but there's a strategically placed pizza crust, and the pizza crust is his dick.
Okay, yeah, but, like, that's...
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, the high point of that game.
Well, clearly you didn't play
game. But you should like them, because, like, there's not... The Bayonetta games aren't really about learning combos. As long as you know which ones end with a wicked weave, at least the first one. As long as you know that, you're good. The main thing is just, like, dodging to activate, like, slow motion crap. Because when you dodge at the right time, then, like, things slow down, and then you attack the weak points to inflict massive damage. And that's kind of... Like, it's not a very demanding game, really.
No, I'm sure it's not. I think the only reason I haven't actually got around to it is because every time I get up and I'm like, oh, okay, today's the day I'm going to start playing Bayonetta.
Today's the day.
I get out of bed and I'm like, today's the day. I pull a hair out of my mouth and I'm like, it's a sign. But every time it's just something else in my backlog catches my eye, because I had the attention span of a Mexican jumping bean.
That's unfortunate. You should get to it, but you haven't bought it yet, right?
No, you know what? Actually, I don't know. I might actually own it. I have to check.
Well, if you do, you should totally get to it, because it's good.
Yeah.
People should play it.
Yeah.
It's great. If you have a Switch, get it, because it's rad, and
pick it up.
Maybe play the second one first. The story doesn't really matter. People probably defend Bayonetta's story, and there's something to it. I agree, there is, and the aesthetic is just chef's kiss. Like, it's fantastic. It's not the end of the world if you, like, don't know what's happening, honestly.
Yeah, and also if you think it's too unforgiving or too punishing, Dark Souls is the thing now, so get good.
Yeah, exactly. Great. So, which of these stellar films would you like to discuss first?
Well, I'm going to strike Sly Cooper, because I don't want to start crying again.
You don't want to discuss the rich Sly Cooper lore and everything that
just
can...
Just everybody log on to youtube.com/SlyCooper/the trailer. Watch it. Leave a comment. Tag Sony Entertainment. Tag everybody.
Go to my DeviantArt. Ask for some commissions.
Tag Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro's Sly Cooper.
Tag Kojima. Tag everybody.
It's just The Shape of Water, but it's just a very mischievous raccoon in a government agency. They're just it just keeps stealing things.
With Doug Jones as a raccoon.
Perfect. No, it's Ron Perlman.
And Charlie Day is Murray.
Perfect. Perfect.
But they mocap him in so he can look buff. Okay. No, now that we talked about Guillermo del Toro, let's talk about Pacific Rim.
Rat. Oh, that's what PR2 means.
Yeah, that's what PR2 means.
I kind of don't even want to think about it, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to think about it either. I want to hate on it.
Okay, good. Well, not good. I really, when I first heard about it, I was like, whoa, this is great. I wanted a second one. I really did. I totally did. I loved Pacific Rim the first.
I loved it too, but, like, did we need a second? Like, here's the...
I just wanted more rad Jaegers, like, more, like, better Jaeger designs, and, like, I love the kaijus in the first one, and I wanted some more of that sweet, sweet mecha action.
Action is great, and it's something we need and deserve, but
this looks like Transformers.
It does. It looks exactly like Transformers, and it's not good. Like, okay. First of all, the moment that I knew that I was like, oh, I'm not going to see this movie. I'm not going to bother with it. It's going to be dog shit. Was the day the first trailer dropped, and all the footage was like good. The CGI was like passable for like a first trailer, and there was the release was still some days away. So I was like, okay, they're going to clean this up. It looks a little rough. They got a couple of like, you know, kind of dumb sequences that don't really gel with like the physics of things of that size. Like they bothered me a lot in the first one where like the guy, I think it was Gypsy Danger, used the big container ship as like a sword. But like, if that were to happen, it would like crumble under its own weight, you know? So stuff like that, like, throws me off. I'm sure I'd sound like the funnest person to see movies with right now. But the thing that like really just, I couldn't keep watching, I like turned it off halfway, was this god awful. Have you seen the trailers?
I've seen the,
it doesn't
the
matter
they
which
always
one.
Play on the movie theater.
It doesn't matter which one, because they all use the same music. It is this offensively abysmal cover of like a Tupac song, I think it is. It goes like, I'm gonna get it on till I die or something like that. But it's a cover. And I don't know who, I tweeted about this. I said, I don't know who keeps stealing the MP4 of the original trailer and then putting it into Premiere and replacing.
I saw that tweet.
Replacing whatever. I like, Ramin Djawadi's gone, Tom Morello's gone. Now we got this fucking shitty Tupac cover, and they keep ram jamming it down our throats for every single trailer. They only used that song. It's
yeah, that's
so
the one
bad.
I've seen.
It's like, ugh. It's like,
it does make
the
trailer worse,
worst
honestly.
Songs I've ever heard. Now, granted, don't go around like SoundCloud looking for like bad music, but fuck, if I was to go on SoundCloud and search bad music, that's exactly what I would expect to find. Just bad.
I was baffled, honestly, like, because we were, like, when we first saw it in the movie theater, like, you know, we knew what the movie was going to be once we started, like the opening,
yeah.
whatever first thing they showed in the trailer, and we're like, oh, yeah, time for some sweet, sweet Pacific Rim 2 footage, and, like, by the end of the trailer, Brenda and I, like, looked at each other, and we were like, that looks bad.
Yeah.
And we were like, it was like someone had, like, kicked a kitten in front of us. We were so bummed out. It was like, but it was supposed to be good.
Yeah, it's not.
But it's not.
It's not.
Well, maybe, who knows? Maybe it's like the worst fucking trailer editor ever.
It is the worst trailer, but like...
No. Like, what? Maybe like the person behind them is just terrible at making trailers, and there's actually a good
but
movie.
I mean, like, that, I don't think there's...
Buried in there.
I see what you mean, and you're being very, like, generous and benign and kind-hearted and naive as you are. And I love that, but I don't think there's a precedent for that at all, because there's good movies with bad trailers, and then there's bad movies with bad trailers, and that's it. I don't think it goes the other way around.
There's bad movies with good trailers.
Like what?
Well, considering, I mean, I don't remember the trailer for Inception, but considering that every movie trailer... is the movie trailer for Inception now? I'm going to say Inception.
I didn't actually see a trailer for Inception, so I
can't.
Oh,
wow.
Well, it just sort of dropped out of nowhere, that movie, didn't it?
No, I distinctly remember the wobs.
No, you're right. There was a lot of... there was probably like a couple of collectible GQ covers. Now that I think about it. Never mind. I don't know. It's just, it's bad. That's the point I want to get across here. Do you want to talk about good films?
Like Rampage?
I don't know. I honestly just want to hear what you had to say about it, if anything.
I don't understand why they're making this movie, really.
Me neither.
Like, this is obviously, the battlefield of 2018. Yeah. I genuinely want to like get the average. I want to see like the what's the breakdown. Like, who knows they're watching a video game movie?
Yeah,
like coming out of the movie theater. Like, sir or madam, did you know that that was an arcade game at one point?
Yeah,
it's and like bizarre. My biggest gripe And like, if it were just like a straight adaptation, like, I love seeing like dumbass big monsters, but none of them are like dumbass big monsters. They're just like just big. It's a big wolf. It's a big ape. That's kind of, like, I mean,
okay. In fairness to the wolf, it does have wings.
Does it?
Yeah, it is actually a monster.
I guess I didn't see that. No, but I mean, like, no, because they're supposed to be, like, people who turned into those things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wanted The Rock to be, like, I wanted him to be one of the monsters.
You wanted him to put those big, beautiful white dots on his face.
Yeah.
Like Benedict Cumberbatch, a smack.
Take it like a champ. I want to see all that sweet, sweet mocap footage on
you wanted on the wolf. Web. You wanted Andy Serkis as the wolf.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Day as the lizard.
Charlie Day is a rat, let's face it.
You're 100% right. I can't believe I forgot about the sweet, sweet world Rampage World Tour lore. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Hey, Jumanji was big, so fuck.
You know what? I remember why.
Who am I to say what people want to watch?
Yeah. Maybe throw Kevin Hart in that one, too. Who knows? just to put butts in seats. But I remember the reason why I put Rampage on there is because I saw it, and based purely on trailers, because that's where we are in this society, is we judge movies by the trailers.
I mean, hey, the entire movie is in the trailer now, so, like, why not?
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair. But, okay, so then I saw the trailer, and I was like, you know what? If you gave me $16 and were like, you can only see Rampage or Pacific Rim 2, it's not even a contest for me, based on everything I know up to this point.
Wait, no, you're not suggesting that you'd rather watch Rampage.
Fucking 1,000,000%, I would rather.
No, watch Rampage. I would rather watch Pacific Rim 2.
I wouldn't. If they're gonna ram jam that shitty Tupac cover down my throat, and
I bet it doesn't show up in the movie.
I should hope not. I should hope it's like the opposite of the Scott Pilgrim trailer when that came out. It had that dope Prodigy song in the trailer that never made it into the film. I should hope that's the case.
I mean, I just want to watch John Boyega do things in a mech.
Yeah.
I'm sick of The Rock, personally. So
imagine if The Rock was in that movie.
In Pacific Rim? He's a mech.
I was gonna say, I can picture it now. He's like super highly trained, and but they keep him in like solitary confinement because he's too good at what he does. And when they bust him out, he's got a personalized Jaeger that only has one thingy in it because he doesn't need anybody to drift with. He just drifts with himself.
He drifts with Kevin Hart.
it's a triple Jaeger, like that Chinese one, and then it's him, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
Perfect. Sell it to the movie. That's Pacific Rim 3.
Pacific Rampage. No, wait. Pacific Jumanji. Fuck. God damn it.
Oh. Great. Great.
Great.
That's enough. That's enough film talk for me. Film connoisseurs.
Yeah.
What's this acronym you have here in fine art?
In our fine art section, which... This is basically just, I've co-opted this space as, like, my play space, my studio, my
your lab workshop.
Where I do the mad science. Yeah, exactly.
That's your atelier.
Yeah, my, what's that thing? My abattoir, yeah.
No, you kill things in it?
Yeah.
Fuck. I thought you were creating, but you're creating things.
No, I'm destroying.
Oh, okay.
Give him a shake. And just beat the devil out of him. That's when you find out who your friends are.
Okay, so for the uninitiated among our vast podcast audience, vast empire, I work at a bookstore, and we buy books from people. And I found a little treasure that I want to share with you. It's not a book, it's a pamphlet. It's held together with staples, and it is a publication of Family Life Center Publications.
Okay.
The MSRP is $4 on this guy, but I got him for 50 cents, which is a deal.
By Grab Thar's Hammer.
Yes. What a savings. Fuck, okay, write it down. Galaxy Quest, quick, before I forget. Galaxy Quest. Best movie of all time. Okay.
For next week?
Yeah, next week.
Okay. So we're going to have to talk about Tim Allen.
God, no. We're going to it's going to be a touching tribute to
Alan Rickman.
Yeah, to Alan Rickman. RIP.
Okay.
So pamphlet. This pamphlet is called Young Men Breaking Free. Subtitle: 12 Steps to Sexual Purity.
Oh no.
Yes.
Is this a Volcel pamphlet?
A what?
A Volcel pamphlet?
What do you mean?
Voluntarily celibate.
No. It's a religious pamphlet. Well, I guess
so. Volcel. Yes, it is.
But I'm thinking of, like, it's not like a subreddit. Like,
are you sure?
This is what the Catholics want.
Is this not a Redditorian psyop?
This is what the Protestants want. There's a lot of, like, okay, I'm just going to give you a couple of really good snippets, because what this book is, it's not just like, oh, don't whack it and pray six times a day. It is very, very specifically geared towards giving young men hot tips and resources. It is a prima strategy guide to not falling prey to
speed running celibacy.
To not falling prey to internet porn.
Okay.
So it is specifically. It's. I think you and I, as you know, a couple of tech aficionados, basically, you know, we should be working for, like, Gizmodo.
Absolutely.
So we are uniquely, I think, positioned equipped to go through this and talk about how specifically, like, okay, the cover of this is, like, Young Men Breaking Free, and then below that is a, you know, those shitty models of, like, knockoff iPhones that people put on stuff when they don't want to pay for the licensing to use an iPhone's imagery? I
absolutely do.
So it's one of those, and then it says 12 Steps to Sexual Purity on the screen. So it's very, very specifically about, you know, how best to use that computer to only love the man upstairs, so to speak, and not the man downstairs.
I only browse
your penis.
Oh, good. Good joke. Big ups.
I liked it.
I only browse Bible fanfic.
Yeah. My AO3 is pretty wild. I got all the books. I got Leviticus. I got all of them. Okay. The foreword of this... this is how you know that this book is legit. This is by, like, real scholars. Because it starts out with a... Okay, I'm going to call this a parody. You know what it is? It's an AU. It's an alternate universe interpretation of The Screwtape Letters, which is a book by C.S. Lewis, famed Christian scholar and lion fucker.
That's what CS stands for. Christian scholar Lewis.
And that book was actually dedicated to Tolkien. So, you know, read into that what you will.
Mm-hmm.
Paganism. But it's like, The Screwtape Letters is like a book that he wrote that was just correspondence between these two characters who are like demons trying to corrupt this guy, right? And so he's like, what this guy's done is like, oh, I've rewritten The Screwtape Letters entirely within the context of internet porn and how demons use internet porn to, I'm going to quote here, turn millions more into spiritual midgets whom we can then manipulate at will.
I have gone my entire life without being called a spiritual midget and am now feeling completely just bereft. I am not whole.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, that you're, you know, that you have a very little faith.
That you have little, you have a little soul?
Yes, small souls.
You can't level up. Boom. Listen, okay, listen to this. It's like, it's literally 12 steps, right? So step one, obviously, destroy all of your pornography. Destroy it, okay? It says literally, rip up any and all porn mags and put them outside in the trash.
Bold assumption to aver that anybody would be having a magazine of pornography porn. In 2018.
Yeah. Well, okay, but they do say, like, all the picture... Okay, destroy all pornographic picture files. Download videos.
Does it look like I know what a JPEG is?
It literally says picture files, downloaded videos, and all pornographic bookmarks on your smartphone, tablet, and laptop. Get rid of it. Oh, fuck.
Not all my pornographic bookmarks.
Yeah. I've got that in a secret bookmarks folder.
It's called, like, golf. Don't look. It's called don't look.
Don't look in here.
It's called taxes.
It's like, it's got, like, three subfolders in it.
It's taxes, audio projects, and Bible fanfic.
Okay, listen to this shit. This shit's wild. Step two, take radical steps to develop a production plan. How radical, you ask? Let me tell you. First and most important, install a safe browser on each of your internet-connected devices, especially on mobile devices that can cause you to stumble anywhere at any time. Man. Do you know what a safe browser is, Scabby?
I mean, is it not just, like, a thing that doesn't let you, like, look at, like, bad things on Google, on a search engine?
Precisely.
Yeah.
But it's not enough for you to just get, like, okay, first of all, those don't exist. There's no such thing as a safe browser. You need, like, a net nanny or something, which is, like, a whole different thing. So already, if I'm, like, a tech illiterate and I'm reading this book because I cannot stop whacking it to internet porn, what am I going to do? I am up shit creek. I am in the desert. So, helpfully, at the end of this, there's an appendix of helpful resources, okay? And they say, if you need help, if you don't know what a safe browser is, you can navigate to our resources appendix and check out what safe browsers are.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of dark commissions.
Every page of this is, like, spectacular. They say, okay, one of the things they recommend to, like, not do porn is, in my experience, this is the guy talking now, a disciplined plan of memorizing scripture will, that's in italics, clear the rot, will clear the rot out of your brain. God has the supernatural ability to thoroughly cleanse his sons.
Jot that down.
As well as the, I haven't even gotten to the good part, as well as the omnipotent skill to get to parts of the brain unreachable by a surgeon's scalpel to cut out the rot.
This sounds like a Resident Evil boss.
Right? This sounds like, okay, guys, big news out of E3 2018, The Evil Within 3. It's just this.
It's this book.
It's just a guy just weeding you from internet porn and threatening you with a scalpel to cut out the rot.
Sebastian Castellanos can't stop whacking it.
Just can't stop.
Oh, wild. My God.
I like this. This is 50 cents well spent. And I will continue to consult it.
In trying times.
I'm going to download this browser, Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes?
Yeah. Just to see what's up.
Please don't, like, I don't know. Maybe this sounds like it could be, like, some nefarious thing.
It absolutely is.
You could end up in, like, a Russian sleeper cell or something. I don't know.
First line. On this website, the first line of text on this website is, porn thrives on shame and secrets. Our internet accountability service is designed to help you overcome porn by monitoring your internet activity and sending a report to a trusted friend? Oh my god! This is not what I thought it was! Oh no. No, thank you.
please sign up for that. I want to see your browsing history.
No,
I
you
want,
cannot I want trust in porn.
I want to report you to the Vatican for porn crimes.
Oh my god.
I want to have an intervention with you over the fact that you browse Bara Murray porn.
Oh my god. I'm the boy, right? I'm the young boy who doesn't really understand why God hates him so much and how he hasn't gone blind yet from all the whacking he's doing. Who's struggling, just trying to get some help out of this book, and then downloading this browser and being like, okay, who is out there? Who is carrying God's sword for me out there? Who can I send this newsletter to about my Pornhub analytics?
My mother.
Oh my god. Is it my mom? Is it Jeremy from school? Is it my pastor? Oh, fuck me.
I would love it if, like, if you actually just signed up for it. You had, like, a pact with someone. You're like, hey, dude, I'm gonna have to, like, I just can't stop cranking the hog. So I'm going to have to make you be my, like, accountability partner for, like, spanking the monkey, and yeah, you're just going to have to look at what I do it to, but the thing is that, like, you have your relapse, you fall down the shame hole, and then, like, your accountability partner just goes like, I can't believe that you spanked it to this waifu,
dude.
This is the best girl, not...
Sakura is so basic, dude. Shameful. Oh my god. That's exactly what it is. Okay, here's the three-step program. Your devices are monitored, a report is sent to a trusted friend, and then conversations help you find freedom. So they don't even do the heavy fucking lifting for you. They just let your friend know what kind of porn you're into, how much you're whacking it. They give you like okay, I'm sorry. This report contains a list of the sites you visit, rated based on their content. So talking about ratings...
You visited, I want to see their ratings.
You visited reddit.com/r/tightpussy.
Carmelita Fox.
By the way, reddit.com/r/tightpussy is a real subreddit. It's just pictures of cats squeezing into boxes.
Yeah, I figured.
So I would not trust this site to make judgment calls. Because they don't have every single porn site indexed. They clearly don't have enough money for that. So clearly they're just making judgment calls based on, like, the name and the links. They probably have, like, a list of hot words.
Oh, those words are hot.
Oh, man, they're so hot. Okay.
That's wild.
Okay, I'm done with this.
Good.
This is bad.
Let's just put it in, just bury it.
Put it in the shame.
Put it in the, yeah.
So that concludes our fine art segment.
Good. That was rousing. That was very intellectually stimulating.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to whack it right now.
Not at all. Not at all. So you mentioned last week that you wanted to get into soundtracks.
I do. And you know what? This episode's been going pretty good so far. I think so far it's our best episode to date, so I don't mind making it a little worse and bogging it down with me talking about soundtracks.
With discourse.
Yes. No, it's not even going to be discourse. It's not even good. Okay, do you have, like, a favorite soundtrack? Do you have, like, a soundtrack that you think about, like, man, that movie or video game or whatever was much better because of that soundtrack?
Well, I don't know. I listen to a bunch of different soundtracks, which I guess prevents me from having, like, an all-time favorite soundtrack. I will say that I definitely gravitate more towards, like, video game soundtracks than to movie soundtracks. I never, ever listen to, like, a movie soundtrack by itself. Like, not... Like, I can't even think of a time... Aside from, I guess, like, musicals, I cannot think of a time that I, like, voluntarily sat down and, like, yeah, can't wait to... damn to this again. But with video game soundtracks, I definitely go back to those time and again. I guess one of my favorite ones would be the Streets of Rage 2 soundtrack. Because why the hell not? What is wrong with you if that isn't your favorite fucking video game soundtrack? You could be either, you could be punching a cop in the face, or you could be doing aerobics and it would still be matching what you, it's the soundtrack for any occasion.
Truly. Every element of that game is so versatile that we could not help but make it our namesake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never listened to it, though.
It's really good. They used to have it, I think, on Spotify, but it's not there anymore. So Japanese music on Spotify is a travesty. Like, the licensing stuff gets in the way constantly. None of the Nintendo stuff is on there, which, I need to listen to Donkey Kong Country 2 soundtrack. I need to listen to Sticker Brush Symphony at least once a month. Otherwise, I die.
Or else you turn back to internet pornography.
Exactly. I fall down a shame hole. David Wise is my accountability partner.
He gets your sights and you get his sights.
A lot of... I won't spill the deets.
He doesn't need that kind of press.
Not at all. Grant Kirkhope, though. Ooh, boy. no, but there's a bunch of really good stuff that's totally missing on Spotify, and that's a huge shame. I tend to listen to more video game soundtrack stuff.
Then when you're listening to them, do you not do that thing that people do, that hashtag relatable thing, where you pretend you're sort of part of it, you know, like you're in the video game?
No, not at all.
Thing where you sort of put on a sad song and look out the window while you're in a car and pretend you're in a music video? Well, maybe that's why you don't like soundtracks then, because that's all I do.
No, I listen to soundtracks and, like, it's just...
So you listen to them just because they're good music. Okay, yes. See, okay, that's... Okay, now we're... See, that's the problem. There's your problem right there. Or rather, my problem.
Because you don't listen to good music?
Yeah. There it is. Nailed it.
I guess I just... Typically, I don't really want to do mood stuff. Like, I'll do it every once in a while, but... I'd rather just, like, listen to something that's either compositionally interesting or, like, aesthetically, like, interesting, I guess. I don't know.
I have this really vivid memory from the early 2000s when I was, like, the most impressionable teen. When I was, like, you know, taking webcam pictures of myself.
Is that a Mountain Goats B-side? The most impressionable teen?
The most impressionable teen out of Denton. No, I was, like, the most impressionable teen to the point where I was, like, taking webcam pics of myself posing as L from Death Note.
It's probably...
Fuck. I've done a pretty good job of scrubbing my Facebook of that era, but it might still be floating around if you really
want to. Oh, my God.
It's real dirty. It's not good. Like, I didn't do my hair up or anything like that.
I don't care.
I just took my shoes off.
That's any good L cosplay.
Yeah. But yeah, when I was, like, that impressionable, oh man, did I have problems?
No, I don't think so. You just wanted to solve crimes.
Yeah, I just wanted to solve crimes and eat cake all the time.
Mm-hmm. Loudly.
But I would listen to the soundtrack to Ocean's 11 because it made me feel real cool. It made me feel like a dignified middle-aged man who could just be in Las Vegas and be like, oh, I'm here, like, I've got a purpose. I'm not just, like, shitting my money away and watching my virility crumble. I'm here to steal from Andy Garcia. I really liked, like, how it made, like, it's, like, if you listen to that soundtrack, it's really, like, sort of jazzy and bouncy, and it really does a good job of encompassing, you know, the
criming it up.
Yeah, the ethos of cool criminal. Mm-hmm. Right?
Slinky.
Yeah, slinky. It's like there's a lot of bass and a lot of bongos and a lot of I think it's good. I think I'm gonna go ahead and put my head on the chopping block here and say that's a good album.
Okay.
And David Holmes is a good musician. Like, he does soundtracks for, like, other stuff. I guess that's the reason why I like soundtracks so much, is because it puts me in the mind of characters that I remember fondly. Mm. And that can be from any media, I guess.
I do the exact opposite. I appreciate soundtracks because, A, it's usually a venue for people who want to get their music out there, and they just, this is the best way to have that happen in any way, shape, or form. And B, it probably makes people compose things that they otherwise wouldn't, in terms of, like, just, like, genre or production style or whatever. That's mostly why I appreciate soundtracks, but you're coming at it from a whole different point of view.
Yeah, an arguably more pathetic direction.
Nope, I think you're probably doing it the right way.
Equally valid.
You're looking at it in concert with, like, the thing it's scoring. I'm just like, these tunes are good. Well, that's a real toe tap.
Not always, though. I mean, sometimes it is just, like, good music. Like, what you were talking about just now, it reminded me of, like, Toby Fox, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's, I think,
primarily
the example that people gravitate to when they talk about, like, oh, like, he's getting his shit out there. Because mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people, and I could be totally wrong about this, just because I'm not in the community, but I don't think a lot of people remember him for the stuff he did on Homestuck.
Mm-mm, not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Now he's Undertale, dude.
Yeah, he's the Undertale man. He's Sans Undertale.
He's Sans Undertale. Yep. that's a good example, though, because, like, people who actually pay attention to that shit go through the trouble of, like, pointing out, like, leitmotifs and, like, the thematic underpinnings of, yep, like, the music. And I'm just over here going, like, well, that's a banger. Yeah. Boy, that slaps.
That slaps.
Mm-mm-mm, that's some sweet tunage. No, I'm terrible at noticing that kind of stuff. I just like music.
Well, that's okay. We still love you, even though you like music.
Good. You're done with the soundtracks?
I'm done with soundtracks. It turns out I didn't have that much to say anyway.
I think that was a good little portion, a good segment. I wanted to speak about Janelle Monáe's thing, yeah, but I'd rather talk about Hell's Kitchen with the amount of time we have left. I don't know if you really want to talk about the end of the fucking world
or Black Mirror
a lot. No,
that can wait.
I can wait. Okay, so we'll
let's stick to the theme of this podcast, which is things that nobody is paying attention to anymore.
Perfect.
People are still paying attention to Black Mirror.
We gotta let
that marinate.
Exactly. We have to wait for it to slip into irrelevance.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the two absolute bangers that Janelle Monáe put out. Like, yeah.
Very good.
Literally, I think on the same day.
Did you see the videos though?
I did not see the videos.
Fuck.
Videos. Which is part of why I don't want to talk. Why I don't want to talk about it today. We'll talk about it.
Let it marinate.
But suffice it to say, you should listen to Janelle Monáe. Like, fucking hell yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Speaking of chefs. I did it.
This is how
a segue works, right? You Lucky do it, yeah. And then you point out how good it was.
Yeah, you totally,
naturally segue.
You totally kill the flow by pointing it out. That's mm-hmm. how you do it.
And no, I accentuated it.
Yeah,
I enhanced it.
You put a little pepper on it.
Yes, just. Mwah.
I'm sorry. Let me untie it.
No, I got it.
No, don't stink.
Did I do that?
We started watching Hell's Kitchen because it's available on Amazon Prime now, and, like, I mean, hey, holler at us, Amazon, if you need Amazon Prime, if you need a sponsor.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a UK version of Hell's Kitchen. I want to say that there is, because on Amazon Prime
there
it says Hell's Kitchen US version.
So yeah, there's UK versions of everything he does, I thought.
Yeah, so there is, and there is. I just checked. I just made sure. So here's the thing. I don't know if you've watched any Gordon Ramsay
I've seen four seasons, more or less, of Kitchen Nightmares, the US
one. Okay, US one. You haven't seen the UK version?
No, the UK version sucks. I saw, okay, here's 15 minutes of one episode. There was no hilarious sound effects whenever somebody dropped a bowl. There was no, like, rinky-dink fucking show tunes in the background. There was no, like, obnoxious chefs who were, like, yelling at Gordon. It was garbage. It was so stupid. Like, why call it Kitchen Nightmares? It's a, you know what it is? It's a kitchen musing.
It's a kitchen daydream.
It's a kitchen afterthought. It's a kitchen tangent. That's what it is. Kitchen Tangents is what that show should be called. Fucking garbage.
Okay, so great. You're familiar with what I'm going to talk about. Yes, absolutely. The U.S. version is literally like the basest, like, Chef Ramsay is going to butt heads with this arrogant chef. And then, like, sound effect of, like, plates crashing or, like... Yeah. alarms going off or whatever, yeah, and like 10 billion different cuts on like the same like scene or whatever.
Okay, excellent.
The good reality shit. And the UK version is like these very intimate character studies where like it's almost like Gordon Ramsay himself is like gets shaded by his interactions with these other chefs. Like we come to understand who he is by his interactions with these other chefs, and like it's extremely somber, and like there's like just so much gravitas. See, I highly recommend watching one episode of US version and then immediately watching the UK version, and then just keep that going,
and then turn it
just
off because you get
whiplash, and then just keep getting whiplash until you die. It's so interesting. Like I imagine that like this is how the world thinks about like the entertainment industry, I guess, in the US, and it is like just this little microcosm, and it's fascinating, honestly. But also, hey, fuck you, Hell's Kitchen is wildly, and Kitchen Nightmares US version is wildly entertaining.
It's so entertaining.
It's the garbage that you need.
Yeah, it's like people say there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. There is.
Yeah.
There is. And it's Kitchen Nightmares US version. But it's... You know what it is? It appeals, you know... I mean, I'm not... Fuck, I'm not exactly breaking new ground on this, but it's, you know, our dopamines and our serotonins and our what have you respond to like what this is, which is essentially like justice porn. You know, it's like
all someone getting their comeuppance.
Yeah, exactly. These larger than life characters.
And you're completely right, because in Hell's Kitchen, there's this asshole called Jason. I think it's season 4 or whatever of Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's this guy where every single talking head segment that he's in, I feel like the producers of the show like told him that like, okay, because like the show is team based. Like there's the female chefs and there's the guy chefs. Okay. And like they're divided in teams and they have to like beat each other in a dinner service. And like I feel like they sat down with this dude and they were like, okay, so we really want you to play up the battle of the sexes thing. Yeah. And they only told him. They told no one else. Because every single talking head segment with him is like, those women, they'd be better off ironing like a shirt or something.
Fuck that. Every single
time, and I could not think of a time that I wanted to punch someone more.
Oh, like, that's so good.
And then they finally got eliminated, and yeah, it just felt, it was an enormous. I felt like I had to consult with my accountability partner. For the release, like, I had
today, I wanted to punch Jason real bad, so I had to log on to reddit.com/r/hentai.
No, because the the waves of joy that just coursed through my body when that asshole was eliminated was basically pornography.
Oh yeah,
it was emotional pornography.
It was that tantric shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You were on that Eastern shit.
Exactly, on that Eastern shit.
It's good television.
It's good television. This is prestige television.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to talk about Gordon Ramsay a little bit.
I mean, it's good.
It's good. The good stuff.
I think. I just want more of that. I mean, I don't see how that show could not just keep going ad infinitum until Gordon himself finally does actually die from someone serving him like a raw tilapia or something. That would be incredible.
I don't think Gordon Ramsay could bring himself to eat tilapia, considering how much of a rancid piece of shit product it is.
Yeah.
He would be like, fuck you.
Fair.
Just on the grounds of serving me tilapia.
He would just leave it on the floor, and then the restaurant owner's dog would come up and start like lapping at it, and then he would leave, and they would play like a funny sound effect.
Finally, a good fucking boy.
God.
All right, is that it for this week?
Yeah. I mean, I got everything I wanted
out of the way. I just needed to Bible thump about Bayonetta. I need everyone to know how much fun it is to punch an angel in the face with my gun hands and my hair feet. You should please play Bayonetta.
Yeah, everybody, go to your local Walmart, steal a Switch.
Your mom and pop Walmart.
Steal a Switch and just go play it. And I'll see if I already own a copy.
See if I
can jump in.
Maybe you do. Maybe you were like, so you were on like a Vanquish high, and you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm just gonna get some platinum shit. Oh, you need to play it. It's so fucking good one. Like, there's
If not, I'll just play Vanquish again.
Also, that probably would suffice. Everything about like the characters has the best shopkeeper in any video game ever. It has some of the best music in a character action game, because usually character action games have insufferable butt rock playing throughout the entirety of it, and instead this has like fucking like jazz show tunes, disco show tunes playing throughout most of it. It's fucking, oh god, I Bayonetta.
Bayonetta.
All right,
that's the episode title.
That's the
whispers. Bayonetta.
Bayonetta. And that's it for this episode then, right?
Yeah, I thought of a thing that we can do at the end of an episode.
Before we do though, do you want to like tell the fine folk where they can find us?
On
the cyberspace.
Yeah, you can find us wherever fine podcasts are sold. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music. We just got on Stitcher, which is exciting.
I did not know about that. That's news to me.
I literally, it's news to me too. I forgot that I had applied to get on there, but we're on there.
Awesome. And our Twitter?
Our Twitter is @pony, @PWNHY. Podcasts will never help you.
Perfect. You can find me at @CelestialWTrash on Twitter, on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And also, A Song of Ice and Fire Pro Wrestling on Tumblr. Where can they find you, Juan?
They can find me in my house, in my bed.
Okay.
Because I run the Pony Twitter, so that's basically, like, you're following me, basically.
Okay.
I think that's it. Okay. I thought of a thing that might work for, like, a show ender, just because I want to have, like, a sort of thematic thing that people can depend on at the end of every episode. Like, you know, like a old TV, like, you know, that people had catchphrases and stuff, and it was like comforting and Pavlovian in a way.
You want to make our listenership drool.
Yeah, I want to make them drool every time I do this, which is
I'm gonna try for it.
What I'm gonna do is I have on my Google Keep, I've got a list of sort of shorthands for potential jokes that I can use in my stand-up routine.
I have one.
You have one?
the jerk store called. They were surprisingly nice.
I was about to admonish you for stealing from Larry David, but that was pretty good.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Fuck. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to test stand-up out on each other. That's fucking
awesome.
Good.
That's a good sign-off.
Right? I like
just
it.
Just a random joke.
Yeah. That's very good.
Right.
And it's funny either way. It's funny if we make
if it,
the other
if
person
if it lands
laugh.
Or if it doesn't land.
It's funny either way.
Because no one can yell at us for it because the episode's over.
Yeah, exactly. Screw it's you guys.
Fuck you. We had the last laugh and you not by you not laugh having you not laugh.
Screw you guys. Perfect. But also thank you for listening and
Thank you so much.
Tell a friend who you know, like, not your best friend, but like, you know,
an acquaintance, somebody you wouldn't mind.
Somebody
not,
expendable.
Like, someone you wouldn't mind losing over this.
Yeah, thank you for listening to. The first podcast in recorded history. Podcasts.
The first, but not the worst.
Yeah. Podcasts will never help you. Good night.
Peace.
I can't do this on my own. Hey, someone watching this shit close.